Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said today that a coronavirus relief bill is not likely to pass before the election. Negotiations have stalled as President Trump has repeatedly changed his mind about whether he wants Congress to pass a new stimulus package. Meanwhile, new unemployment claims remain relatively steady, more than 800,000 people filing their paperwork each week. Joining us now by Skype is Joseph Stiglitz, a Nobel Prize-winning economist and professor at Columbia University. Professor, welcome to Here and Now.
Nice to be here.
Well, you were a member of the Council of Economic Advisers, the chairman of it during the Clinton administration. What would you do now to respond to the economic issues facing the country?
I would have a major spending program. There are many, many people, bottom half of our population, that are extremely vulnerable. They live paycheck to paycheck, and for many of them, the paychecks aren't coming in. Unemployment insurance usually lasts for 26 weeks. 26 weeks have already passed since the beginning of the pandemic. And so unemployment insurance is coming to an end. And for in many states, the level of unemployment compensation replaces only a fraction of their income. There are also large fractions of the population that were left out in previous programs. Most important aspect is help to the state and local governments. You know, our state and local governments basically have a balanced budget framework, and their revenues have plummeted as the economy has plummeted. And among the largest group of newly unemployed are the state and local government workers.
What do you think about this idea of sending out another round of, in this case, $1,200 stimulus checks to Americans? Would that make much of a difference, do you think?
If it's targeted at the bottom, it does make a difference. We saw in the previous case that when those low-income individuals receive the checks, they actually spend it. And that means it provides a big stimulus to the economy. I think it has to be targeted because we are spending a lot of money. Previous packages were somewhat around $3 trillion. And that makes it all the more important that our money is going where it's most needed, where it will do the most good for the individuals and for the economy as a whole.
Well, let me ask you about that, because the national debt is currently more than $27 trillion. That is nearly the size of the entire national economy, the GDP. It is on track to exceed that next year. Are you concerned at all about that? Or is this a moment when we say, doesn't matter how high the debt goes, because obviously people are willing to buy our debt, and therefore we should spend what we need to get ourselves out of this recession?
Definitely it's the latter. We should spend what we need. Not spending that money is going to do an enormous amount of damage, which will be long-lasting. You know, when companies go bankrupt, they don't all of a sudden go unbankrupt when the pandemic is over. The damage is done. There's a loss of organizational, informational capital. It took us a decade to recover from the collapse of the stock market in 1929. It was really only World War II. And it took us almost a decade to recover from the onset of the Great Recession, 2008-09. We never got back to the level of government employees that we had prior to that recession. So this is a moment where we really need to do what we can to sustain the economy. No inflationary pressures, and that is usually the one thing that people worry about when they say, oh, we're spending too much.
Is there any amount that you think would be too much debt for the United States?
Not as long as we can finance it. And, you know, there's a curious thing going on right now. Basically, the Federal Reserve is financing the spending. And so we're borrowing the money. One hand of the government is borrowing the money from the other hand. So the net indebtedness held by the American people is really not going up that much. So, yes, if we were facing inflationary pressures, I would begin to get worried. But we also know that even if sometime in the future there were inflationary pressures, we have the tools to deal with it, both monetary policy that can constrain the economy and tax policies we have a large capacity to raise taxes, especially on higher income individuals. And there's scope for more environmental taxes, raising capital gains taxes, actually taxes that would improve the performance of our economy.
So what if there is no relief package at all in the next several months, let's say even between now and January of 2021? What happens to the economy then?
Well, what we know is it's going to slow down. Already we see evidence of that. The recovery from the initial lockdowns will be slowed, maybe even reversed. What we're going to see is not the V-shaped recovery, but more like a U, or as some people call it, a K, where people at the bottom particularly are going to be having a really, really hard time. I also think one of the consequences is this long-term damage will make the recovery in 2021 all the more difficult. And that means we won't see a full recovery until 2022, 2023. So it will have long-term consequences.
Some people have talked about a W-shaped double dip recession and recovery. Others have said it will be K-shaped, meaning that the wealthiest will recover quickly and fully, while the middle and lower income Americans don't. What do you think the recovery will look like from this recession?
Well, the W reflects the fact that there may be a second wave to the pandemic. I'm very concerned about that. We have not put the pandemic under control. And obviously, if it increases enough, there'll be a second lockdown, and that will mean that we'll go into that W-shaped recovery. But the K really does capture a lot of what's going on in our economy. You know, there's data that shows that those at the top have been relatively unaffected. They can continue their work using modern technology. It's the workers in the restaurants, people who work in the airline industry, janitors in our schools, lower income people have been, and their families have been devastated by this. So that's why it is an apt description, the K, that the people at the bottom are going to have a hard, hard time. And the people at the top, actually, their savings rate in the second quarter was very high. They were not living paycheck to paycheck. That's really evidence that the people at the top are actually going through easy time, but it's not the kind of stress that the people at the bottom are facing today.
Mm-hmm. Professor Stiglitz, this pandemic has totally changed the global economy. No, for one thing, people can't really fly from country to country right now and do the kinds of business that they were able to before. How do you see our global relationships changing as a result of what's happening?
Well, I think there are two things that have become very evident. One is the need for global cooperation. You know, it's a pandemic. That means it's a global event. And the scientists around the world have really never cooperated more closely, more strongly in developing vaccines, the therapeutics, the tests. Unfortunately, some governments have not fully cooperated and some companies have not fully cooperated. But it does remind us about we share a planet and we need cooperation. On the other hand, the pandemic has also demonstrated the lack of resilience of our global supply chains. That means the global supply chains are going to be rethought and the nature of trade will be rethought. One of the things that bothers me right now, though, is that the developing countries and emerging markets don't have the resources that U.S. and Europe have to reinvigorate their economy. And that means the recovery in the developing countries and emerging markets may be very, very weak. And we're not going to get a strong recovery until we get a recovery through most of the world.
I just want to finally ask you, because you've talked about people at the lower end of the income spectrum and how much they're struggling. If somebody is listening right now who has lost a job during the pandemic and isn't able to make ends meet and is watching what's happening in Washington and watching that the two sides are unable to come together and offer more relief, what would you say to that person right now?
Well, quite frankly, what I would say is this is politics. And one of the two parties is really fighting very hard to get money to you. And the other party is all of a sudden gotten fiscal rectitude. They didn't have that in 2017 when they gave a tax cut to the billionaires and the corporations. But suddenly now that it's the people at the bottom who need the money, they've gotten a dose of fiscal religion. So I'd say this is an election where your vote really matters for your future. Are they going to help the people who need it, or are they going to be fixated suddenly on the size of the deficit?
That is Joseph Stiglitz, a Nobel Prize winning economist and professor at Columbia University. Professor, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you.